So we're in batch number four now of local news and features. A big thank you to Liz and Kath, who've done the first three batches for us, and now joined by Uta. And we're going to have three more batches for you, hopefully, if we have time. And then we're going to have Uta's one and only snippets, which we love. So my first two stories, and then Uta's going to make up the four with her stories. My headlines are: field set to disappear forever as new battery energy storage site is planned, and a grieving Stoke-on-Trent dad asks the coroner to show CCTV of son's gym death. So over to Uta, who's going to do her headlines.
Well, there will be one... Well, actually, 100 and... Hello, first. 153 potholes are being repaired on Staffordshire's crumbling roads every day, although I've got some complaints here that people say there should be more repair going on. And then we have Kevin Fletcher reopens Leek's new-look indoor markets.
Wonderful stuff. So I'm going to read my first story now, which is field set to disappear forever as new battery energy storage site is planned. Plans for a battery energy storage site on land at a Staffordshire Moorlands farm have come forward just months after a previous application was rejected. Staffordshire Moorlands District Council refused permission for the development on lands at Newlands Farm, Wetley Rocks, in September last year after it was considered an appropriate development in the Green Belt. The refusal notice decision added there are also concerns regarding an overall cumulative effect of similar developments in the area and the industrialisation of the landscape, increased risk of a safety incident at a localised area, and wider environmental implications. The development would be prominent to the users of the adjacent public right of way due to insufficient landscaping and lack of information regarding maintenance arrangements for existing and proposed vegetation, and it would have a harmful effect on the visual amenities of the countryside. But a new application has now been submitted to the authority by Newfields Best Limited. A transport and access statement submitted as part of the application states the proposed development will consist of an enclosed compound area containing a BESS comprising 14 blocks of battery cabinets supported by electrical infrastructure such as inverters, transformers, control buildings and substations. The battery storage units, along with associated infrastructure, equipment and fencing, will be removed and the land returned to its current use after 40 years. Due to the nature of the proposals, the impact on the highway will be temporary, attributed to construction vehicle movements required during the construction and decommissioning phases. During its operation, only a small number of vehicles, LGVs, will frequent the site for scheduled maintenance and servicing. Natural England has raised no objections to the latest proposals, but Lisa Fox from Werrington said the proposals were sore-eye bad for wildlife and dangerous for residents. Diane Rowley said, "I'm still very concerned about the safety of BESS, which is BESS, in particular the fire risks. If this happens, it will be a disaster for the residents in the surrounding area." So over to Uta now, who's going to do her first story for us in batch number four.
Yes, and I say a proper hello now, and I start reading about my potholes. Well, not mine, but the ones on the streets. 153 potholes are being repaired on Staffordshire's crumbling roads every day, it says. A campaign to fix Staffordshire's road has seen an average of 153 potholes repaired a day during the past 10 months. Teams have also cleaned around 35,000 gullies and carried out 2,600 drainage repairs since the start of the Highway Recovery Plan, which was launched last year. The aims include reducing a backlog in non-emergency defects and bringing down repair times for higher risk issues, as well as improving drainage. Almost £8 million was invested in the response on top of funds already earmarked for general roads maintenance, improvements and major projects. An update on the recovery plan's progress was given at a Staffordshire County Council meeting. James Bailey, Assistant Director for Highways and the Built County, told the committee members that since April 1st, 2024, there had been 30% increase in the number of potholes repaired compared to the same period in the previous year, and the number of gullies cleaned out had gone up by 20%. Councillor Mark Deville, cabinet member for Strategic Highways, said the campaign to fix roads was still going ahead at speed across the county. He said, "We're making great progress and there is a tremendous amount of work being done since we launched the recovery program back in March last year. Back in March, we could see that we had a real problem, not just in Staffordshire, but across the nation. So we made a quick decision to invest considerable additional funds into our highways. There was a new approach, a razor-like focus on urgency and things that mattered to the customer. There's a lot more work to do, but the program is going very well. By the end of this financial year, we will have repaired 35,000 potholes, which is a tremendous improvement on last year, and we will have emptied 60,000 gullies. We've completed 37 resurfacing schemes, and they are works where the local residents can see a massive difference when we completely resurface a road. We've done 587 roads that have been surface dressed. These are really good for the longevity of our highways. These works can last up to 20 years. They are numbers that don't really matter to our customers, but what really does matter to our customers is they see considerable activity out on the roads. That leads to some frustrations around traffic controls and roadworks, but you have to offset that with the work that is being done. We do take the use of traffic controls and delays very seriously and regret them, but that is a situation from having considerable extra works out on our highways. Winter weather, including major storms, had affected response times for dealing with defects," Mr. Bailey said. And he added, "We hadn't quite anticipated the number of new defects that were going to continue to rise following last winter's very challenging weather conditions. But overall, response levels had improved during the year. A report presented to the Economy, Infrastructure and Communities Overview and Scrutiny Committee revealed. Mr. Bailey said, "The performance is telling us we're doing the right thing in the right way. When we compare where we are now, which means the time between October to December 2024, compared with quarter three of the previous year, October to December 2023, we have seen a 28% reduction in claims numbers coming through. We have seen a 29% reduction in customer defect reports, and we have seen a 25% improvement in customer satisfaction. It's not saying the job is done, there are still huge amounts to be done, but we're going in the right direction with the plan." Councillor David Smith said, "I'm delighted with the service we're getting. The comments I wish to make are where things may be potentially going wrong. The pothole gnomes seem to be working at night and creating problems. Having a rural division, I'm concerned about water flowing off agricultural land and not being taken away because ditches aren't being properly maintained. And we are looking at the damage being done to the edges of roads, which, if we solved the ditch problem, could ease the problem on pothole and road repairs." Councillor Deville said, "We are absolutely putting more emphasis on drainage, because potholes generally come from water ingress. With the changes in weather we have seen in recent years, drainage, floods and closed roads are much more of a problem than it was 5 years ago. More gullies are to be emptied, but more importantly, it's not enough just to improve our rate of cleansing gullies. If there's a drainage issue, that either needs more investigation work or a dig-down crew. We are looking at putting more rescue into dig-down crews to find serious and long-standing drainage problems. And more importantly, repairing them, we also need to work more closely with residents and landowners where it's their responsibility to maintain and clear gullies and soakaways. My mailbox, and I guess yours as well, has switched from the emphasis being totally on highway repairs and potholes to drainage problems and floods. I get much more correspondence around floods now than I do highway repairs," he says. Well, I tell you what, extra £15 million are to be spent fixing Staffordshire's potholes and unblocking gullies, but there is still somebody who complains and demands better roads after potholes damage his motorhome, and he probably is not the only one, and you can see the holes coming up as soon as they are repaired. So over to you, Tim.
Wonderful. Many thanks for that. So my final story for you now in batch number four is grieving Stoke-on-Trent dad asks the coroner to show CCTV of son's gym death. An investigation into the death of a young Stoke-on-Trent student who died while using gym equipment at university has uncovered no criminal health and safety failings. Medical student Mohamed Faraj tragically died at the scene in the University of East Anglia's sports park in Norwich in Norfolk on October the 16th in 2024. The 21-year-old had been using a weight machine when the incident happened. His provisional cause of death was a traumatic head injury. Norfolk Police finished its investigation shortly after the tragedy and said at the time there was no third-party involvement. A health and safety executive spokesperson said, "We thoroughly investigated the incident and, after careful consideration, decided against any further action. We'll review our decision if new evidence can be presented throughout the inquest, and we will continue to assist the coroner. Our thoughts remain with the friends and family of Mr. Faraj." However, Mohammed's grieving father, Hashim, 57, told the hearing he had questions about the incident and the investigation and asked to be provided with a CCTV tape of the accident. He said he had seen the clip once before but wanted to study it in detail before the full inquest. Family sources said that Mohammed was using the gym when there was a massive crash. A source close to his family told the Sentinel that it was a tragic accident and it was not a fault of the machine, from all we've been told. Mohammed was using a Smith machine when he suffered a head trauma. He had no underlying health issues. He was very fit and healthy. There was absolutely nothing wrong with him. In an outpouring of tributes, friends of Mr. Faraj described him as hard-working, kind and clever. A tribute from the medical school said, "You had the potential to make a great doctor." Following his death, Mr. Faraj's friends and family paid tribute to the super smart student. His cousin said, "I don't think I've ever met anyone like him in my life. He was intelligent and there was always so much you wanted to ask him. He was the purest and kindest soul and was always there to help others. He always put others before himself and he really wanted to be a doctor. He was very optimistic and looked forward to his future." His mother, father and younger teenage brother are in bits. They're heartbroken. He had one of the biggest Muslim funerals in Stoke-on-Trent. So many people turned out for it. A friend of Mr. Faraj, Isaac Rodriguez, told the BBC the young man was by far the hardest worker in the gym. He never gloated and was compassionate, so kind and always there to help people. The full inquest is due to take place on March the 26th this year. So over to Huta, who's going to do the final story for us in batch four.
Thank you. It's about the reopening of Leek's New Look Indoor Markets. Well, Calvin Fletcher reopened it, or cut the ribbon. Celebrity farmer Calvin Fletcher cut the ribbon at the relaunch of Leek's revamped indoor market after they underwent a £3.4 million overhaul. And the TV star, who has a farm on the Staffordshire-Derbyshire-Cheshire border at Winkle, is it Winkle or Winslow, in the shadow of the Roaches, says markets are the heartbeat of the town. Work on the butter and trestle market had been wrapped up at the historic building in time for Christmas, where new businesses had also moved in. Kelvin, who became a household name for his role in Emmerdale, joined a number of dignitaries for the official ribbon opening at the time. The market refurbishment is one of the three regeneration projects in Leek Town Centre, which have been funded through the District Council's Levelling Up Award. The authority received £17.1 million to regenerate Leek, which has also seen Brough Park Leisure Centre shut for a major overhaul, while the iconic Nicholson Institute will also be refurbished. Kelvin became part of life in the Peak District after snapping up a 120-acre farm back in 2020. And is now responsible for 100 sheep, 30 pigs, 10 horses, 6 chickens. Speaking at the opening event, Kelvin said that the transformation of the markets had been incredible. He said, "I'm from Oldham. I grew up in Oldham and Tommyfield Market was a big part of my childhood and I think what markets represent can never be undervalued. They're the heartbeat of any working town. They represent the community, small traders, small businesses, and without a strong market, the town, the high street, is worse for it. So I think the people of Leek are immensely privileged to have such a market, to have the council's ambition and vision. The council has clearly demonstrated this in the future, and I think that is, unfortunately, quite a rare thing. Nowadays, so much of our transactions are done online. I think for me to come into markets and actually see the whites of the eyes of the people you're purchasing of, more often than not, they've actually made the product themselves. That's such a unique experience, and hopefully that will continue, and I think what the council have done is clearly establishing that and creating a great future. As somebody from the surrounding area, this place is genuinely special. The amount of people that come to our little holiday cottage and talk about Leek. Maybe people from Leek don't realize, but these sort of places are somewhat of a dying breed, and it's such a special place for the community. The council say the investment has future-proofed the markets hall, delivering modern, flexible spaces for business and community use, and improved customer comfort, safety and security, and Wi-Fi. New Friday markets, themed around fashion on the first Friday in the month, food and drink mid-month, makers and artists on the third Friday, and a vintage at the end of each month, are also set to start. Councillor Matt Swindlehurst, the council's cabinet member for leisure and tourism, said, "It's absolutely fantastic. This is the first of three projects, and we must not forget that, but after all the hard work put in by the previous administration and then us, it's really nice to see this first project done and dusted, being used by the public and being used for what it was designed for." Council leader, Councillor Mike Gledhill, said, "The market got that fantastic blend of old and new. People can come in and recognize the old market. Its many features, like the tiles and the building itself, but then they can look around and look at the modern heating, lighting and the new catering skills and the whole brand and image of the market, and that's all very 21st century. What that means is we'll get that wider demographic of people coming into the market who will then filter out onto the high street, and that will really boost the whole regeneration of the town centre. The Butter and Trestle Market, which houses a selection of local traders and food vendors, is open Wednesday, Friday and Saturdays from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thank you.